Radio Prague News.
The organized crime squad of Czech police has arrested a group of police officers in South Moravia suspected of corruption and violent crime. Human rights activists are pushing for the removal of a controversial right-wing figure from a senior post at the Education Ministry. And the standoff continues between loggers and environmentalists trying to prevent the felling of bark beetle-infested trees in the Šumava National Park. The organized crime squad of Czech police arrested on Tuesday a group of police officers in southern Moravia suspected of corruption and violent crime. A spokesman for the unit said most of those detained during the raid in Brno were current and former employees of a police department dealing with economic crime. A former inspection officer of the Interior Ministry is among those detained. According to the news website Lidovky.cz, the group covered up major cases of economic crime in return for large sums of money. More arrests are expected to take place in the next few days. However, in view of the ongoing investigation, further details have not been disclosed. Czech human rights activists on Wednesday asked Prime Minister Petr Nečas and the leaders of the other two coalition parties to push for the removal of the controversial right-wing figure Ladislav Bátora from his post of Human Resources Director at the Education Ministry. In an open letter, members of the Czech Helsinki Committee, Amnesty International, Roma, IQ Roma Service and other organizations said Mr. Bátora was linked to racist and anti-Semitic groups, and ask the officials to make sure right-wing extremists do not get jobs in state administration. Ladislav Bátora, who is a staunch opponent of multiculturalism, feminism and anti-discrimination, among other things, ran in 2006 for a seat in the lower house on the ballot of the extremist National Party. In April, he became an advisor to the Education Minister Josef Dobeš from the Public Affairs Party, who earlier this month appointed him the head of the ministry's Human Resources Department. Ladislav Bátora has rejected all accusations of racism and extremism. The standoff continued on Wednesday between loggers and environmentalists trying to prevent the felling of bark beetle-infested trees in the Šumava National Park. Up to 100 activists were expected to turn up in the area where the park management wants to fell hundreds of trees to prevent the spreading of the bark beetle. The environmentalists, who believe the trees should be left to decay naturally, have been trying to prevent logging in the area since the 15th of July. Meanwhile, around 100 local inhabitants gathered in the area on Wednesday to protest against the environmentalists and to show support for the park management. The Czech Republic paid nearly twice as much for Spanish-made CASA military transport aircraft as Portugal. The Czech daily Lidové noviny reported on Wednesday, quoting the British review The Military Balance. In 2009, the Czech army paid over $51 million for each of the four planes, while Portugal bought 12 CASA aircraft in 2008 for $27.1 million each. However, the final cost might be even higher, as the Czech authorities agreed to pay for three planes and exchanged a fourth for five Czech-made L-159 combat planes. In that case, the overall price of the deal would reach 3.5 billion crowns. The paper says that former Defense Ministry officials responsible for the deal, including then-Minister Vlasta Parkanova, refused to comment on the case. And finally, a brief look at the weather forecast. The next few days will be mostly overcast with occasional rain showers and storms. Daytime highs should range between 24 and 28 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and it's the end of the news.
You're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, we look at what can happen to children caught up in messy divorces and how a new ruling by the Constitutional Court may help. And then it's on to the Šumava National Park, where a veritable battle is going on over the bark beetle. We'll visit the police museum in Prague and then invite you to another Czech lesson. All that coming your way, so do stay with us. The The Czech Constitutional Court has just issued a verdict in favour of a mother fighting to prevent her 10-year-old son, a perfectly healthy boy, from being returned to a psychiatric hospital. The boy had already spent 6 months there during his parents' custody battle on the basis of a previous court ruling. The court dealt with a case at the instigation of the boy's father, who demanded that the boy be taken from his mother's care because she was biased against him and was having a bad influence on the child. Sarah Barufka has the story.
Are you relieved? Of course. That was the monosyllabic response that the mother of 10-year-old Alan gave the press after a verdict in her favor was issued by the Czech Constitutional Court. She had been fighting to overturn a ruling by a regional court in Ostrava that would have again sent her son into a psychiatric facility. Previously, he had already spent 6 months there during the custody battle between her and the boy's father, who appealed a lower court's decision and in an effort to minimize the mother's influence on the child, had him sent to what he said was a neutral environment. After overturning the verdict, Constitutional Court Judge Vladimir Kurka had this to say.
We believe the court failed to consider the adequacy or suitability of sending a child to such an environment, to a psychiatric hospital.
After the boy was released from the hospital following a court order, his father appealed the ruling, forcing the mother to go into hiding to prevent her child from being taken back to the facility. However, another court ruled that the child should return to the institution. The mother finally took the case to the Constitutional Court, which ruled in her favor. But how could a Czech court issue such an unqualified verdict in the first place? I put the question to Zuzana Baudišová, the director of the Our Child Foundation.
The court argued that by being in a psychiatric ward, the boy would be removed from the mother's influence, who the father claimed was trying to turn the child against him. The saddest thing was that the boy was not asked once during the year and a half custody battle whether he wanted to stay with his mother, his father, or have both of them take turns. No one gave him a chance to voice his opinion.
Part of the problem is the lack of qualified foster families or other institutions where children whose parents are in the middle of a messy custody battle can stay. I asked Mrs. Baudišová if there were any other incidents in which such a child ended up in a psychiatric facility.
I would say that such cases are on the rise since the divorce rate in this country is nearing 50% and there are a lot of parents fighting over custody rights. There was another case of a young girl who was sent to a psychiatric ward 4 years ago for a period of several months. This is not a good solution for any child that has no psychological problems. Those institutions treat children with schizophrenia and other serious conditions, and a stay in such a facility will definitely harm rather than help a healthy child.
One measure that may help alleviate this situation would be the implementation of full-time foster families, an adequate environment for children to stay during a custody battle. In March of this year, the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs announced that it would support an expanded network of foster families as part of a reform that is currently being prepared. Until then, one can only hope that the recent ruling of the Constitutional Court has established a precedent for similar cases.
Sarah Barufka with that report. A continuing standoff between ecological activists and loggers in the Šumava National Park is continuing to heat up. For more than a fortnight now, activists have been chaining themselves to trees slated for felling, stressing that logging commissioned by the park in protected areas is illegal. Under existing regulations, they have argued trees in the nature reserve must be allowed to decay naturally. The park management has countered by saying that only felling will prevent further locations from being devastated by the bark beetle. The dispute has now divided senior politicians, with some calling for immediate talks to resolve the dispute. Jan Wellinger has the details.
For more than a fortnight, protesters in Shumava National Park have drawn attention to logging in sensitive areas, refusing to depart and chaining themselves to trees, even as the park's management has pushed ahead. The management insists some 4,000 trees must be felled in the coming days to prevent the spread of further devastation by the bark beetle. On Monday, some politicians exasperated over developments, or the lack of them, said enough was enough. At a press conference by Top 09, one of the parties in government, leader Karel Schwarzenberg fired a shot across the bows by charging that the environment minister, a member of the senior Civic Democrats, had done nothing to diffuse growing tension.
He's played dead in the hope that the bark beetle, like them, will just go away.
The environment minister Tomáš Chalupa is currently on vacation and did not respond directly to the Top 09 charge. He did say in a press release that he welcomed any dialogue with politicians and stressed that only new legislation, in his view, would solve the problem of Šumava National Park. For now, though, the standoff continues. Ecological activists have made clear they won't call off their blockade and won't come to the table until the loggers go home. By contrast, park management under Jan Strasky says it is ready to talk, but made clear it won't allow preconditions to any negotiations. On the ground, meanwhile, the felling continues, and loggers are simply trying to do their job without anyone getting hurt. Forestry worker Adam Kolosh spoke to Czech TV.
You have to keep checking what's going on in the protected area because you never know who might jump out from behind a tree.
The situation at Šumava National Park has seen intervention by police and already sparked numerous lawsuits. What's more, the developments have come to the attention of Brussels. The CTK news agency reported that the European Commission has already asked for an explanation by Czech officials over what was happening in the park. It's part of a network of protected nature areas in Europe.
Jan Wellinger with that report, and doubtless we'll be hearing plenty more on that subject. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for this week's Spotlight. Tucked away in a former monastery in Prague's Nové Město, the Czech Police Museum boasts a fascinating permanent exhibit exploring the history of the Czech police, the development of criminology, infamous murder cases, and much more. Sarah Borůvka went to check it out.
A human body fits into a barrel. Vladimir Kuna played repeatedly.
An English-language interactive audio panel at the Prague Police Museum, an institution dedicated to the history of Czech police, the country's most notorious criminals, and the development of criminal investigation in the Czech lands. Květa Klusová, who works in the museum's cultural and educational department, tells me a bit about the history and mission of this museum, located near the Nusle Bridge in a former monastery that used to house the Order of St. Augustine.
Our museum opened its doors to the public in April of 1991. Its mission is to familiarize visitors with the history of the police in our lands, which was established in 1918. Initially, the police was organized in two branches. One was the Gendarmerie, which worked on the whole of the country's territory, and the other was active in the bigger cities. That was the state police. But then there were also local police departments, just like we have them today, which were organized and administered by individual municipalities.
Of course, the history of the police also reflects the history of the country as a whole. One good example of that is a room dedicated to the border police under the communist regime. There, visitors can gain insight into how strictly secured and monitored the country's borders were at the time, an element of the permanent exhibition that often surprises younger Czechs, says Květa Klusová.
Ti mladí lidé na mě vždycky koukají udiveně, když jim říkám, že nebylo možné jako dneska.
Young people look at me completely dumbfounded when I tell them that back then it was not possible to just go away for a weekend trip to Vienna and that traveling was horribly complicated. And so here they can see where the Iron Curtain was and what it looked like. The borders with Austria and West Germany were lined with three rows of barbed wire fences. The row in the middle was at first formed by high-voltage electric fences, which were replaced by a surveillance system in the mid-1960s. And whenever someone tried to cross, it was visible on these surveillance monitors. Here you can also see some of the original signs that marked the border area, which was off limits to anyone who didn't have a permit.
A následovalo potom hraniční pásmo, kde taky byl teda ten vstup jenom na povolení.
The permanent exhibition is organized around various themes, with the largest portion of space devoted to what visitors tend to be most fascinated by, the history of criminal investigation and notorious murder cases. Květa Klusová explains the setup of the museum.
Naše expozice vlastně začíná tím rokem 1918, prochází.
Our exhibition starts with the year 1918 and information about the history of Czech police from that point up until today is located in four branches of a cross-shaped corridor. In the other exhibition rooms, visitors can explore certain themes, for example, a gendarmerie station from the era of the First Czechoslovak Republic, one room devoted to the police at present, one to the traffic police, and then what is probably most interesting to most visitors, there are four rooms dedicated to the history of crime and criminal investigation. Here they can explore both the history of criminal investigation as well as the methods used today, and some pieces on display are connected to well-known criminal cases.
One such exhibit is a suitcase that played an important role in one of the most notorious murder cases in the history of this country, the 1933 murder of the prostitute Otilie Vrenská. Along with many other original items, it lends an eerily authentic air to the exhibition.
Tady pak můžete vidět právě ve vitrince originální dva kufry.
In this glass display case, you can see the original suitcase in which the body of Otilia Vranská was found, cut in half. One was found in a train in Bratislava, the other in Košice, and both had been sent from Prague.
No, jak už jsem říkala, bylo tam nalezeno rozřezané tělo Otilie Vranské.
The exhibition also features a contraption that was used in another blood-chilling murder case, a plank of wood with a box at the top, built by the murderer Hubert Pilčík.
Tady máme případ Pilčík.
This exhibit is connected to the case of Pilčík, which dates back to the year 1951. Some people wanted to escape from the communist regime and hired human traffickers who knew the escape routes. Back then, the barbed wire fences were not in place just yet. One of those traffickers was Pilčík, but he did not assist people in escaping the country. He murdered them instead. Although only two of his victims' bodies were found, police found when they searched his house a number of items that belonged to people who had paid him to help them escape. Things like clothes, identity cards, and so on. And the most shocking thing was that during the house search, they also found this item here in his garden, a box that he built and in which he held a 12-year-old girl captive who was supposed to cross her the border with her aunt and her grandfather, whom he both murdered.
Hubert Pilčík had the girl write letters pretending to have safely escaped abroad in an effort to lure more victims into trusting him. But not the entire exhibit is devoted to such gruesome content. Visitors can also try out taking their own fingerprints, have a look at a recreated crime scene, and learn about the workflow of police and crime scene investigation, or gain insights into new methods in criminology. And what are some of the reactions of those who come to see the exhibit? Květa Klusová again.
Zejména ti návštěvníci zahraniční jsou jedna, která zaujatí tou expozicí.
Especially the foreign visitors are impressed by the exhibit, and we do get a lot of foreign police officers who visit the museum, even some from as far as New Zealand, Canada and Australia. They're usually proud of their profession and tell us that there is nothing comparable where they come from.
My se jim ta naše expozice líbí, říkají mnozí, že ani nic takového u nich není.
In addition, the museum also collaborates closely with the police and holds special seminars for school children, be it traffic education or courses that are meant to help prevent juvenile delinquency. Sarah Borůvka with that edition of Spotlight. And now it's time for today's Czech lesson, as I promised. Due to its enormous popularity with listeners, Radio Prague is now repeating its Soundcheck series. This lesson comes to you courtesy of Dominic Yoon.
Tak dělejte něco, vždyť už mají jistě zavřeno.
Instalatéři!
Žádný instalatéři hrát! Že už mají zavřené...
Welcome to this edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series, in which you can learn interesting phrases through song lyrics. Today's phrase is Než se odtud vymotáme, and comes from a song contained in the 1980s children's story Hurvínek a Lupiči, or Hurvínek and the Burglars, part of the famous Špejbl and Hurvínek series.
No tak neboj se, dítě. Jo, neboj se. Ale tak, pane Spejble, přece by nás tu nenechali jen tak.
Se pak nás mají spočítané jako slepice.
No, právě.
In this somewhat scary story, the characters find themselves accidentally locked in a castle basement. They decide to look around carefully. Důkladně si to tu prohlédnout. Not knowing what to do, one of the characters hopelessly sings. Doleva, ne doprava. Left, no right. Then, a frustrated Špejbl notes, Než se odtud vymotáme, sklátí nás všechny únava. What Špejbl is saying is that, before they manage to find their way out, they will all collapse of fatigue. Vymotat literally means untangle, and is used in Czech in a slightly different way than you might use the word in English. To vymotat se is to untangle your way out of something or somewhere, be it a forest, maze, traffic jam or castle basement. The second part of the sentence is Sklátí nás všechny únava. We will all collapse from fatigue. Sklátí literally means to be knocked down, so a direct translation here would be We will all be knocked down by fatigue. Often, direct English to Czech translations don't work and need a little interpretation and modification to find the precise meaning. I'll leave you with the final sentence of this song, which is pretty ominous. Co když na mě někdo tady číhá a praští mě do hlavy? What if someone is watching me and will thump me on the head? You can check out this and any of the previous lessons on our website, which is www.radio.cz. Thanks for listening and nashledanou.
Co když tady někdo číhá a praští mě do hlavy?
That edition of Soundcheck was with Dominic Yoon, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you as always. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.